with me by Justin. By everybody, I probably just mean the three people that listen to this podcast, but whatever. I enjoy doing this. Like I said, I've never read the Bible, so this helps me. I meant to, after the last episode, to keep kind of popping these out, thinking that since I was going to be out of work and around the house more, it shouldn't be a big deal, but then this whole coronavirus thing hit. I've got a 5-year-old autistic daughter, so it changed, you know, what I was doing dramatically. I needed to stock up supplies and for her, really. She's non-verbal. She has very little speech. She doesn't swallow solid foods. She mixed baby food with like oat milk. She can't have like dairy milk and almond milk. They seem to constipate her. She won't potty train, so we got her still in diapers. I had to stock just all these things I had to stock up in before they are considered or, you know, hard to get. Now there's lines at the store. There's only so many people allowed in at a time that it's just become ridiculous. I've hopefully finally got a hold of a provider that can watch her for 3 hours a day or so I can actually go out and do the shopping. She would never stand in a line like that with me all day. It's just too much to ask from her. She doesn't understand. You can't explain to her what's going on, so she just has a problem with it. And also, I think I was calling Jesus Yeshua last time, and Jehovah, because I'm trying to learn their names. I kind of got a little deeper into that. I'm going to keep referring to God, or when they say Jehovah as Yahuwah, and then Jesus as Yahusha, because it seems to me, or from what I can find, that those are closer to the actual pronunciations of their names in Hebrew. From what I can find, that's, you know, looking at the Sefers and people that study the Sefers and whatnot. I've been going through a lot of the links that Larry Johnson was a running back for the Kansas City Chiefs. He has a podcast called Sight to the Blind, and he's also on Twitter. He leaves a lot of links and things, and I've been using his links to kind of study a little more of what's going on there, as well as just kind of Googling and DuckDuckGoing the meanings and pronunciations of these words in Hebrew. It gets funny because it's almost like everyone says it just a little bit different, you know? Like, you'll get two people that are championing the same thing, but they're both saying it just a little different. Now, I guess, you know, every accent's the same, or I mean, a little different, and will alter the sound of things, but it's weird. It's weird. It makes it different. So, I was seeing in the video on the ciphers I was watching last night that the ya part needs emphasis, and the ah at the end seem to be important in the emphasis when saying it. So it's as long as you get through that, I don't know if you'll get, you know, chastised for messing up all the syllables or the vowels in between. Just do your best and keep them in your heart, I guess. You know what I mean? As long as you're addressing our Father, I would think that even if you're just, you know, bastardizing his name, that you would still, on some level, be heard, because your intent is proper. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, you hear stories all the time of people that never went to church, never prayed, never cared at all. And then when they got in some trouble, sorry for yawning, hope I'm not spreading it. Then when they get in some trouble, they start crying out to God, and they don't really know the Hebrew name, you know what I mean, to say, per se, when addressing the man. They're crying out from their heart, and they seem to get saved or helped. So, yeah. So, here we go. Chapter 9 in Exodus. And Yahuwah said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and say to him, so says Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, send away my people that they may serve me. And if you refuse to send away, and you still hold on to them. Am I on the right chapter? I'm going to guess. Sorry, we've just repeated this kind of thing so many times. I'm worried that I'm just repeating something I've already said. But it says I need to start on chapter 9. Okay. Send away my people that they may serve me. And if you refuse to send away, and you still hold on to them, behold, the hand of Yahuwah is going to be on your livestock in the field, on the horses, on the asses, on the camels, on the herds, and on the flocks, a very heavy pestilence. And Jehovah will make... and Yahuwah... it comes so quick. Where did I go? And Yahuwah will make a distinction between Israel's livestock and Egypt's livestock. Also, of all that belongs to the sons of Israel, not a thing will die. And Yahuwah set a time, saying, tomorrow Yahuwah will do this thing in the land. And Yahuwah did this thing on the next day, and all the livestock of Egypt died. And from the livestock of the sons of Israel, not one died. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, not even one was dead from Israel's livestock. That's weird. It just says, and Pharaoh sent, and behold, and even, it doesn't say who he sent, it just, some of these words, man, make it hard to follow, if that may, you know. Not even one was dead from Israel's life. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not send away the people. And Jehovah said to Moses and to Aaron, take for yourselves the fullness of your hands of soot from the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heavens for Pharaoh's eyes. And let it become dust in all the land of Egypt, and let it become an inflammation breaking out into a boil on a man and on the livestock in all the land of Egypt. Oh, that's horrible. And they took soot of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it toward the heavens, and it became an inflammation breaking out into boils on man and on livestock. And the priests were not able to stand before Moses. Before the inflammation, that's weird, on this time it says inflammation, they've put like a dash in between the two M's and the word inflammation. I guess they did it last time too, it just looked differently because it was right when you were ending a sentence on the end of a line. So they put that line in there like you would normally do. But here are the sentences, or the words in the middle of the sentence. And they still have that line in there, that line. So it's inflam, then meishin, which is weird. I've never seen that like that. For the and right after that, it doesn't do that. For the inflammation was on the priest. Okay, that must be from the last time they did it, where they did have to do that. That's some kind of typo. There seems to be a lot of these. I apologize for the background noise if you're hearing it. My daughter's playing with the PBS Kids app. There's just literally nothing I can do about that with the COVID existence thing going on here. I've just got to kind of struggle through it. I will try and remove a lot of the background noise as much as I can with another phone app, but I don't know that we won't get rid of that noise going on back there right now. I apologize. And the priests were not able to stand before Moses before the inflammation, for the inflammation was on the priest and on all the Egyptians. And Yahuwah hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them, as Yahuwah had said to Moses. Sorry I keep pausing. I got this thing in front of me so I can keep looking at the name to see that I'm saying it right, because, boy, I'm gonna mess up 20 times here. That much I can pretty much guarantee. And Yahuwah said to Moses, get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh, and say to him, so says Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, send away my people that they may serve me. For at this time, I'm going to send all my plagues to your heart, and all your servants, and on your... You know what, hold on, I'm going to turn that down. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. My daughter likes to do things extremely repetitively. So when you hear that going on... She just turned that back up. Hold on. Back again. I turned it down all the way so I could see if she does know how to play with the volume. She's watching TV and has that that app going. So, I mean, the tablet. So she could lose one of them, you know? Anyway, but back to where we are. And Yahuwah said to Moses, get up early. I believe this is where I was, right? Yep. Get up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, so says Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, send away my people that they may serve me. For at this time I am going to send all my plagues to your heart and on your servants and on your people, so that you may know that there is none like me in all the land. For now I have sent forth my hand and have smitten you and your people with pestilence, and you have been destroyed from the earth. And for this reason I have preserved to you, in order to cause you to see my power, and in order to declare my name in all the land. You still are exalting yourself against my people, so as not to send them away. Behold, I will rain very grievous hail about this time tomorrow, such as never been seen, or such as, where I get seen, such as has never been in Egypt from the day of its foundation until now. And now send out, bring your livestock to safety, and all belonging to you in the field, all men and livestock found in the field, and not brought to the house, and not brought to the house. The livestock brought to the house. Okay. The hail will come on them, and they will die. All men and livestock found in the field and not brought to the... So bring them inside if you don't... Oh, yeah, the hail. Okay. The way this is written in here just kind of messes with my head every now and again. These sentences I'm reading are about an inch and a quarter long, somewhere right in there. Yeah, the Hebrew is much wider. If I knew Hebrew, I could read this much faster. It'd be so much easier. Of the servants of Pharaoh, the one who feared the word of Jehovah made his slaves and his livestock flee to the houses. And the one who did not set his heart on the word of Yahuwah, Dad went with it again, word of Yahuwah, left his slaves and his livestock in the field. And Yahuwah said to Moses, stretch out your hand to the heavens, so that hail may be in all the land of Egypt, on man and on livestock, and on every plant of the field of the land, in the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched out his staff to the heavens, and Yahuwah gave thunder and hail, and fire came down to the earth, and Yahuwah rained hail on the land of Egypt. And fire came down to the earth, but if it's hail, why are they calling it fire? That's strange. Rained hail on the land, okay. And there was hail, and fire flashing in the midst of the hail. So there was fire, and very heavy, which never had been in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote in all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, from men and to livestock. And the hail struck every plant of the field, and it broke in pieces every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the sons of Israel lived, there was no hail. Okay. And Pharaoh said, Pharaoh sent and called Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. Yahuwah is the righteous one, and I and my people, the wicked ones, pray to Yahuwah, and let it be enough of the thunder and of the hail of God. And I will send you away, and you shall not stay any longer. And Moses said to him, as I go out of the city, I will spread out my palms to Yahuwah. The thunder will cease, and the hail will not still be, so that you may know that the earth belongs to Yahuwah. And as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear before Yahuwah God. And the flax and the barley were smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax in the blossom. And the wheat and the spelt were not smitten, for they were late. And Moses went out from Pharaoh to the city, and he spread out his hands to Yahuwah, and the thunder and the fire hail ceased. Say that again. Thunder and the hail. Oh, where'd I get fire? Sorry, the thunder and the hail ceased, and rain was not poured out toward the earth. And Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunder had ceased, and he continued to sin. And he hardened his heart, he and his servants. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not send away the sons of Israel, as Jehovah had said, by the hand of Moses. You've got to be kidding me. How would you... Dude walked outside, put his hand in the sky, was like, Yahuwah, make this stop, and it stops. And he's like, nah, tricks. Y'all got tricks. I mean, what? What, you know, sorcery or magic do they have they think can combat this? I mean, what in the world is going on with these people? That just blows me away. He's going to keep the people, too. They got boils and, man. Yahuwah said to Moses, go into Pharaoh. Yahuwah is incredibly, incredibly patient. I think after the second or third time with my kids, we talking a spanking or something. This is ridiculous. You know what I mean? I'm not going to punish her toys or everything around her. I'm going to snatch her up and be like, hey, what is going on? You know what I mean? So I guess in this idea, though, he wants him to have the faith without needing to see or be... He just needs him to believe. I don't, man, this is weird. It's not weird what Yao was doing necessarily, as much as it is at the Pharaoh, who's experiencing all this, is just still like, yeah, no. No, that's good. You do this, and I ask you to stop, and it stops, so maybe I have the power? I mean, what is this guy thinking? What is this guy thinking? Okay. Chapter 10. And Yahweh said to Moses, "Go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, so that I may set these signs of mine in their midst, and so that you may relate in the ears of your son and the sons of your son what I exerted myself to do against Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, and you may know that I am Yahuwah." And Moses and Aaron went into the Pharaoh and said to him, "So says Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, how long, or so says Yahuwah, the God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Send away my people so that they may serve me. For if you refuse to send away my people, behold, I am going to bring locusts into your territory tomorrow, and they will cover the eye of the land, and no one will be able to see the land. And they will eat the rest of that which escaped, that which is left to you from the hail. And they will eat every tree that sprouts to you from the field, and your houses will be full, and the houses of all your servants, and the houses of the Egyptians, which neither of your fathers nor the fathers of your fathers have seen from the day of their being on the earth until this day." And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. Didn't he already do this? God, am I reading the same thing over? I'm getting confused again. Doesn't say I am, man. Sorry, I'm looking at my notes that don't necessarily say that I'm reading the same thing over, but I thought we already went through this thing with the locusts. Covering all the people being on top, being inside the homes and whatnot. Or is that just fleas? Is the locust different? I don't remember. It was just fleas the first time. But I thought we discussed that locusts and grasshoppers are kind of the same thing. You know, right now over in the Middle East, they're having a huge problem with this, with locusts and whatnot. So this isn't just a back then time thing. This is a now time thing. It kind of makes you wonder if he had spoken out to anybody currently to be like, hey, you need to change his ways. And well, I don't know. I guess in Revelations, whenever I get there, at the back of this huge book, these are signs of the end times anyway. So maybe it won't be. Maybe it's just a repeating of what he already does. You'll know it too. Sorry for yawning so much. I'm actually fasting today, so I haven't had any coffee. I haven't done my normal routine. I'm trying not to. I think, in fact, the only thing I'm going to put in my body or on my body today is this some Copenhagen I've been dipping, and I don't know that I'm going to kind of get away from that right off the bat, because that's driving me crazy, and there's no nutritional value to it, so I don't. And it's going to make me lose more water, so I'll need more faith to replenish that. But yeah, it's a goal of mine for the day. Anyway, so there's more locusts. And Pharaoh's servants said to him, "How long shall this one be a snare to us?" Like they're getting used to it, right? "Send away the men that they may serve Yahuwah their God. Do you not yet know that Egypt is perishing?" And Moses and Aaron were brought back to Pharaoh. Oh, good. So there is somebody here with some common sense. It's about time. My goodness. The servants were like, dude, this ain't working out for you. Ugh. And I don't know why the whole time I'm down, picturing this one guy in like the, is it the movie 300? Where they go to, no, I think it's in. God, it's either in 300 or it's in the, oh, what's that movie where, that Mel Gibson made? About Yahusha. Well, anyway, in one of these older movies, I cannot remember which one, to be honest with me. Could be Troy. I mean, I've seen so many of them. Could be the Gladiator. But anyway, there's this dude that's a little fat, really kind of chubby dude, and he's got all this makeup and stuff on, all these people around. I don't remember if they're orgying or some crap like that. And they come up to ask him about something, and he's got this big eyeliner. He's just so giggly and stupid. And, like, when he blinks, he's got, like, eyes painted on his eyes. And it just... I think he had the eyes painted on his eyes. Maybe the witch did. Anyway, he just doesn't seem to get it. You know what I mean? He just thinks everything's a damn joke, or that he is, you know, he's above it all. And that, to me, it's like, that's who this Pharaoh is. He's this fat, you know, boy-loving, you know, orgy-having just moron. Just moron who thinks, you know, so self-indulged that he believes that he's got the answers and the power to fix or do things. And even in the face of absolute disaster, almost, you know what I mean? He still refuses to see that he's not the one with the power. Okay, keep it on. Do, 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 do. Where was I? Sorry, I just lost my place. Oh my goodness. Am I turning the page? Oh yeah, I'm turning the page. Okay. We'll take a clue from old Seeger here and turn the page. Brought back to Pharaoh. So they brought him back to Pharaoh, and he said to them, "Go serve Yahuwah, your God." Who and who are the ones going? What? Go serve Yahuwah, your God, period. Who and who are the ones going? That is an odd question. Who and who are the ones going? And Moses said, "We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters. We will go with our flocks and with our herds, for it is a feast of Yahuwah to us." And he said to them, "May Yahuwah be so with you, as I send you away, and your little ones. Watch, for evil is before your face. Not so. You and the men go now and serve Jehovah, or Yahuwah, for you were seeking it, and he drove them out from the face of Pharaoh." From the Pharaoh. I keep saying Pharaoh. I apologize, man. That was weird. I'm going to take a second to kind of look at that again. It's a feast to us. And he said to them, May Yahuwah be so with you as I send you away and for your little ones. Then watch, just with the exclamation at the end, that's a sentence, for evil is before your face. Not so. Those are just three sentences that don't make sense. Watch, for evil is before your face. Not so. Does that mean there's no evil in front of you? Okay. And Yahuwah said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand before the locust over the land of Egypt, so that they may go up on the land of Egypt and may eat every plant of the land, all that the hail left." And Moses stretched out his staff over the land of Egypt, and Yahuwah brought an east wind on the land all that day and all that night, and at morning the east wind brought the locusts, and the locusts went up over all the land of Egypt and rested on all territory of Egypt, exceedingly many. Never were there locusts like them before, and afterward none will be like them. And they covered the eye of the earth, and the land became dark. And they ate every plant of the land, and all the fruit of the trees, and all the fruit of the trees that the hail had left. And no greenness was left in the trees, and in the plants, the field, and all the land of Egypt. And the Pharaoh hurried to call Moses and Aaron, and he said, "I have sinned against Yahuwah, your God, and against you. And now pray, forgive my sins only this time, and pray to Yahuwah, your God, that he may take away from me this death only." And he went out from the Pharaoh, and he prayed to Yahuwah. I'm so confused. I thought that he just granted them that they could go and do what they had to do, right? So, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something here. It sounded to me like they got what they wanted, but he still sent the locust anyway. This writing's so small, it's so hard. Even the way that I'm pronouncing this or saying it as I'm reading it is messing me up. So I apologize if it's messing you up. And thank you to anyone who's sticking through this with me, because it's just such a weird way to read a book. Just inch sentences, you know, inch and a quarter sentences at a time. And the way that it's already difficult enough with the way that it's written out, but to kind of be jumping with all these lines so close together, sometimes I'll, you know, going to the next line, I might skip down one, and it's sometimes that's the pause that you're hearing in my voice, but it sounds like I'm not I get these broken sentences kind of coming out. So it's kind of hard to follow the writing that's in this book. It's just so dang small and so narrow. I mean, the English was definitely an afterthought in what we were doing here. In the Hebrew text is what's, you know, forefront in this book. So the bulk of the book is in nice, you know, 4-inch sentences in Hebrew that I can absolutely not read. And underneath it, it's got the it's got Hebrew and Greek, so it's got both. And underneath it, it's got what they're both translated to in English. And those are there's some parts right there where the Greek and even the Hebrew were kind of have different definitions. And so you hit this moment where if you're trying to read that based off the translations, that you get lost. It gets really, really funny. So what I'm reading is the best, I guess, you know, the scholars have taken what they believe to be what was meant to be meant from these languages into English and putting that forth. And that's what we're reading. Just to kind of define it a little better, I guess. And it does sound funny sometimes, because some of these sentences, you know, they in English don't make great sense. You know, that they don't, you wouldn't talk like this. So if you're an English speaking person, so. Yeah. And Yahuwah changed to a west wind. And he went out from Pharaoh, and he prayed to Yahuwah. Okay, and Yahuwah changed to a west wind, very strong. And it carried the locust and threw them into the Red Sea. Not one locust was left in the territory of Egypt. And Yahuwah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not send away the sons of Israel. What? I thought he just did. I don't even... So he... What's the deal with the... And Yahuwah hardened the heart. So I'm getting confused with those statements. Does that mean that... Is our God making him not do this? I mean, if he's hardening the heart of the guy, is that not what's causing him to not listen? It just seems... That seems odd. Yeah. That seems odd. Okay, and Yahuwah said to Moses, stretch out your hand to the heavens so that the darkness may be on the land of Egypt, and one may feel darkness. And Moses stretched out his hand to the heavens, and darkness of gloom was in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Jeez, that's weird. And Moses stretched out his hand to the heavens, and darkness of gloom was in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. I mean, how would you say that in English? Moses stretched his hand out towards the sky, towards the heaven, and a darkness and gloom fell upon all the land of Egypt for 3 days. You know what I mean? Like, that's how you would maybe more likely actually say that. So when it's screwing with my brain to have it said like this, because I guess even with my child, I correct some of the speech that she is getting out, so what she is able to say is sensical. Anyway, back to it. They did not see each other, his brother, each one from his place for 3 days. Yet to all, they did not see each one his brother, and they did not rise up, each one from his place for 3 days. Yet to all the sons of Israel, there was light in their dwellings. I don't get that. So they slept for the 3 days? They did not rise up. And Pharaoh called to Moses and said, go, serve Yahuwah. Only leave your flocks and your herds behind. Your little ones may go with you. And Moses said, you must also give into our hands sacrifices and burnt offerings so that we may prepare for Yahuwah our God. And also our livestock shall go with us. Not a hoof shall be left. For we shall take from them to serve Yahuwah our God. And we do not know with what we shall serve Yahuwah until we come there. And Yahuwah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he was not willing to send them away. And Pharaoh said to him, go away from me. Be careful for yourself. Do not see my face again, for in the day you see my face, you shall die. And Moses said, you have spoken rightly. I will not see your face again. Oh, how does he know that? Is he telling him he's going to die? Ooh. That sounds a little, ooh. And Yahuwah said to Moses, I will bring still one more plague on Pharaoh and on Egypt. On the Pharaoh and on Egypt. Afterward, he will send you from here. When he sends you away completely, he will surely drive you out from here. Now speak in the ears of the people, and let them ask each man from his neighbor articles of silver and articles of gold. And Yahuwah gave favor in the eyes of the Egyptians toward the people. And the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the eyes of the servants of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of the people. And Moses said, so says Yahuwah, about the middle of the night I will go out in the midst of Egypt, and every firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. Oh, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, the one sitting on his throne, to the firstborn of the slave girl who is behind the mill, and every firstborn of animals. And a great cry shall be in the land of Egypt, such as never has been, and nothing like it shall be again. And a dog shall not sharpen his tongue against all the sons of Israel, toward man and toward livestock, so that you may know that Yahuwah... Did I mess that up somewhere? No, anyway. So that you may know that Yahuwah distinguishes between Egypt and Israel, and all these servants of yours will come down to me and bow to me, saying, go out, you and all the people at your feet, and afterward I will go out. And he went out from the Pharaoh in the heat of anger. And Yahuwah said to Moses, Pharaoh will not listen to you, so that my miracles may multiply in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these miracles before Pharaoh. And Yahuwah hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not send away the sons of Israel from his land. Why? Why? I mean, if you thought it was just Moses doing this, wouldn't you have already had him killed? It just doesn't make any sense. And Yahuwah said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be the chief months for you. It shall be the first of the months of the year for you. Speak to all the congregations of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, they shall each take for themselves an animal, the flock for a father's house, a flock animal for a house. What? On the 10th of this month, they shall each take for themselves an animal of the flock for a father's house, a flock animal for a house. And if the house is too small for a flock animal, he and his neighbor next to his house shall take. Whoa. And if the house is too small for the flock animal, he and his neighbor next to his house. Oh, shall take. Okay, so next to his house. Outside next to. It's just worded so weird. By the number of souls, each one according to the mouth of his eating, you shall count concerning the flock animal. Okay. So you're outside by the number of souls. So by however many. Each one according to the mouth of his eating, each soul according to the. You shall count concerning the flock animal. Okay, so. That's an odd way to say that. Was there extra souls around back then?
Not attached to the bowels?
By the number of souls, each one according to the mouth of his eating. So, oh. Count the live ones, not the dead? A flock animal, a perfect one, a male, a yearling, shall be to you. You shall take from the sheep or from the goats, and it shall be for you to keep until the 14th day of this month. And all the assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the evenings. And they shall take from the blood and put it on the two side doorpost and on the upper doorpost, on the houses in which they eat. So they got to take the blood from the animal and basically paint the doorframe with it, right? You're going to kill it, although thou shalt not kill. I don't think that's come to be yet, though, because there's no commandments yet. Assembly of the congregation of Israel shall, they shall take from the blood and put it on the two side doorposts.
Yeah, essentially you're gonna
paint your doorframe with this blood. Okay. And they shall eat the flesh in this night, roasted with fire, and they shall eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs.
Do not eat it raw or at all boiled in water, but roasted with fire. Its head with its legs and with its inward parts, and you shall not leave any of it until morning. And you shall burn with fire that left from it until morning. And you shall burn with fire that left from it until morning. And you shall eat it this way, with your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Passover to Yahuwah. And I will pass through in the land of Egypt in this night. So he wants you to stand, be clothed, have a spear in your hand, and to eat this, like, quick. Eat fast. Huh. Why? It is the Passover. He's sending you somewhere, huh, maybe? I will pass through in the land of Egypt in this night, and I will smite every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from man and to livestock, and I will execute judgments on all the gods of Egypt. I am Yahuwah. And the blood shall be a sign to you on your houses where you are. And I will see the blood, and I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy when I smite in the land of Egypt. Oh my goodness. Is that what Passover is? I've never in my life like heard that. I honestly have never known what the term Passover meant. But this I definitely didn't know. Wasn't there some like traitorous thing back in history where people put something in their window or put some kind of mark on their door so that the like the king's army wouldn't kill them and just eradicate them? Some kind of deception. I can't remember. Something like that sounds familiar. But here, you're painting your door frames. Your front door, I guess. Probably the front door. Because why would Yahuwah come in through the back? Painting your door frames with the blood from the sacrificed animals, and that's what allows you to be passed over. Why is that not... Sorry for the yawning again. Why is that not more explained? Like, that should be well-known, like, passed over. That's such... I mean, it's not, like, a clever name. It is what it is, right? Like, so you won't be killed, or your home won't suffer. That just blows me away. Sorry. That just blew my mind. Yeah, that just absolutely blew my mind. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy when I smite in the land of Egypt. And the day shall be a memorial for you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahuwah. yeah. Changing his name around is not helping me, but... Yeah, Yahuwah. Okay. And the day shall be in the memorial for you, and you shall celebrate it as a feast to Yahuwah for your generations. You shall celebrate it as a law forever. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days. Indeed, on the first day, you shall cause leaven to cease from your house. For anyone eating anything leavened, the soul shall be cut off from Israel from the first day until the seventh day. What is leavened? Yeah, I don't know what that is. I've never actually heard of that term, so... What? Huh. 1 second. Alright, I'm back. These moments where I pause aren't as noticeable to you, I don't think, as they are to, as they are actually happening. My phone did something really, really funny, and I had to take a second to look at to see if I was still recording, if I had missed something. It almost looked like I had been going on for a while and wasn't actually recording. And all of a sudden, like after a certain amount of time, it was like, okay, the pause is over. It's going to record. So anyway, that threw me off too while I'm trying to figure out what leavened is. I'll be looking that up as soon as I'm done. In fact, I'm going to write that down while I'm... talking, because I think Passover is next week. And if there's a tradition we're supposed to be doing biblically, I'm trying to learn how to fast and do all these other things. I think that I should absolutely learn about it. understand it, you know what I mean? Anything that'll help bring me closer to Yahuwah is something that I absolutely want to be part of. And on the first day shall be a holy convocation. And on the seventh day, a holy convocation shall be to you. Not any work may be done on them. Only what must be eaten by your soul, that alone may be done by you. And you shall observe the unleavened bread. For on this very day I brought out your armies from the land of Egypt, and you shall observe this day for your generations, a statute forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread, until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven shall be found in your houses. For anyone eating anything leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel. Among the aliens. Oh, they use the word aliens. Thank you. Nice. I'm someone that believes that what people believe are aliens are actually like the fallen angels or just demons, deceptive spirits, whatnot. So to actually see that word in here is just, that's great. Thank you for that. Because it would mean that they were aware of that word back then when God was there. You know what I mean? When Yahuwah was around, and it's not referring to people or, you know, races on imaginary planets in imaginary outer space outside of the firmament. It is absolutely there, but somehow doesn't exist in the eyes of NASA and blah, 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 blah. Among the aliens and among the natives of the land, you shall not eat anything leavened. You shall eat unleavened bread in all your dwellings. And these are Israelites he's talking to, too. So, And Moses called to all the elders of Israel and said to them, go out and take of the flock for you and for your families, and kill the Passover. And kill the Passover. And take a bunch of hyssop, and dip in the blood which is in the basin, and apply some of the blood in the basin to the upper doorpost and to the two side doorposts. And you shall not go out. So I guess it doesn't say you have to paint the whole thing. Maybe that'd just be kind of going overboard, but you definitely need to mark it. Apply some of the blood. Yeah, so maybe you're just kind of, you're putting a rag in it, rinsing it out, and then just kind of pressing the rag against the top and the two sides. Which is a triangle, I guess, depending on where you do them. Odd how that comes into play. Those seem to be a big part of history and belief systems. And you shall not go out, anyone from the door of this house until morning. And Yahuwah will pass through to smite Egypt. And he will see the blood on the upper doorpost and on the two side doorposts. And Yahuwah will pass over the door, and he will not allow the destroyer to come into your house to strike you. And you shall observe this word for an ordinance for you and for your sons forever. And it shall be when you come into the land which Yahuwah shall give to you, as he has spoken, you shall observe this service. And it shall be when your sons say to you, what is this service to you? Then you shall say, a sacrifice of a Passover of Yahuwah, who passed over the houses of the sons of Israel in Egypt when he struck Egypt. And he delivered our houses. And people bowed and worshipped. And the sons of Israel went out and did as Yahuwah commanded. Moses and Aaron, so they did. The commanded is C-O-M. Then there's an exaggerated space. Not just like your normal space. And it's actually from, after it says, in the book it's spelt out, and did as Jehovah. And then there's this huge space, and it says calm. And then a huge space, commanded. That calm is just by itself in the middle. There's no other place. I guess doorpost was the only other spot up above where I've seen kind of a huge gap on a word like that. That is just weird looking. Okay. And it's right in the, these are all, they just got to be typos. The book says it's all hand typed out. So yeah. But how do you do that? How do you get that? It's like a tab space, you know? After Jehovah and after calm, just to get to the rest of the word, manded, commanded. Okay. And it happened at midnight. Yahuwah struck every firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh, the one sitting on the throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the prison house, and every firstborn of animals. And Pharaoh arose by night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not a dead one. And he called Moses and Aaron by night and said, "Arise, go out from the midst of my people, both of you and the sons of Israel, and go serve Yahuwah according to your word. Take both your flocks and your herds, as you said, and go, and bless me also." And he wants to be blessed too. How about that? And the Egyptians pressed on the people to hasten to send them away from the land, for they said, "All of us are about to die." And the people took up their dough before it was leavened. Before what? Their kneading troughs being bound up in clothing on their shoulders. And the sons of Israel did according to the word of Moses. Leavened, does that mean baked? Boy, I need to look that up. According to the word of Moses. And they asked from the Egyptians articles of silver and articles of gold and clothing. And Yahuwah gave favor to the people in the eyes of the Egyptian, and they granted their request, and they plundered Egypt. They plundered it. So he just let them. Well, I guess they're being punished. And the sons of Israel traveled from Ramses to Sukkoth, the men being about 600,000 on foot. Whoa, this isn't a small amount of people. That's a lot. Yeah, Napoleon marched up on Moscow with like 500,000. Or Tartaria, whatever he was marching up on. About 600,000 on foot. Yeah, that's a lot of people. Apart from the little ones. Oh, that doesn't even count the little ones. That's just the adults walking. And also a mixed multitude went up with them. And flocks and herds. Very many livestock. And they baked the dough, which they brought out from Egypt into unleavened cakes. For it was most okay, it's... Jeez, it's not cooking it. For it was not leavened, because they were driven out from Egypt, and they were not able to delay. And also, they had not prepared food for a journey for themselves. And the time of the dwelling of the sons of Israel, which they dwelt in Egypt, was 430 years. And it happened, from the end of 430 years, it happened on this day, all the armies of Yahuwah went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of celebration to Yahuwah for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This night is a celebration for all the sons of Israel to their generations. Sorry, my brain just paused because I thought that Moses had to like split a sea to get them out. But maybe we haven't gotten to the sea yet. Maybe we're just out. Okay. And Yahuwah said to Moses and Aaron, "This is the ordinance of the Passover. No stranger may eat of it." No stranger may eat of it. "And every man's slave, a purchase of money, you shall circumcise him. Then he may eat of it." Oh, I'm circumcised. Yay. Sorry. I think I brought it up before. That circumcision thing always messes with me. Because, you know, it's your covenant. Supposedly, it turns the head of your member into a dome, basically, kind of like the dome above us. And then you'll notice in every, you know, like capital almost, and all these major countries, like in DC and London, they have them all over, man. You have one in Russia, they got these large, phalluses, these large pillars, you know what I mean? And they all come to a point, like the Washington Monument, it's pointed on the top, which always made me think that. Which has made me think, I guess, since I've gotten into the biblical aspect of things, that it's to represent an uncircumcised penis. It's basically showing, you know, declaring that they have no covenant with Yahuwah. Anyway, it's an unholy land. You know what I mean? It's a symbol of it. Celebrate our similar sons all the generations. Okay, and Yahuwah said to Moses and Aaron. Oh, whoops, I'm already past that. Da, 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 da. "You shall circumcise him, then he may eat of it." I got stuck on the circumcision. Okay. "A foreigner and a hired servant may not eat of it. It shall be eaten in one house. Wait a minute. You shall circumcise him, then he may eat of it. That was the servant, right? The slave. Okay. A foreigner and a hired servant may not eat of it. So like an Egyptian, if you have one with you. Huh. It shall be eaten in one house. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside from the house. The flesh? I thought we were eating bread. And you shall not break a bone in it. Did I miss something? I'm looking real quick back to see if we're talking about more than just... I mean, I know you got to sacrifice. I guess we're back on the... I thought they already sacrificed the sheep and stuff for the blood on the doorways. I am super confused here. And the fox and herds and very many they bake the dough, which is the bread. Yeah, they've not prepared food for a church. Huh, okay. Well, we'll move on. I guess we're eating the livestock now. You shall not carry any of the flesh outside from the house, and you shall not break a bone in it. All the congregation of Israel shall prepare it. And when a stranger shall stay with you, and will do the Passover to Yahuwah, let every male to him be circumcised, and then he may come near to prepare it. And he shall be like a native of the land, but any uncircumcised one may not eat of it. Huh. The circumcision is a big deal. One law shall be to the native and to the stranger, the one staying in your midst. And all the sons of Israel did as Yahuwah commanded, Moses and Aaron. So they did, and it happened on this day. Yahuwah brought out the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt by their armies. All right, man, my brain has just been broken. We're gonna stop here. I'll be picking up more.